You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on October 30th, 2025. And this week we're talking about why religious debates are less common today than they used to be. In the 19th and even the 20th century, it was fairly common for preachers to engage in formal public debates. And while these still happen occasionally, they do not occur nearly as often here in the 21st century. Well, why is that? We're going to consider some possible reasons today. For links to some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/10/30/25. Now for our discussion this week. Recently, I was working on a book project containing the works of W. Curtis Porter. Porter lived from 1897 to 1960, and at 63, he wasn't terribly old when he died. He also dealt with health issues for several years that hindered his work. Despite that, he engaged in over 75 debates in his lifetime. And we might think that sounds like a lot, but there is another gospel preacher, Joe S. Warlick, who lived from 1866 to 1941. He was engaged in almost 400 debates, 399 to be exact. Now, how many debates has the average gospel preacher in the 21st century had? I don't know. I don't have any statistics on that. It would be interesting, though, if anyone knows how to come up with a number for that, what that number would be. But why were debates so common in the past? How can debates be useful? Well, first, they can be used to show the difference between truth and error. The Apostle John wrote, "We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." We should be able to know the difference between what is true and what is false. Comparing them side by side, like you do in a debate, can help us make that comparison. Also, a debate can help expose the followers of a false teacher to the truth. Notice the complaint that was made by Demetrius against Paul in Ephesus. You see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a considerable number of people, saying that gods made with hands are no gods at all. Now, that was not referring to a formal debate, but it was about the message of truth turning people from error. Previously, the ones who were following error, who were worshiping these idols, they had not been exposed to the truth. Once they were, many of them accepted it. But also, debates can be useful to help change the mind of the one who is promoting error. Now, that's not typically the result, but that is something that can happen. Well, despite how useful they can be, debates are less common today than they used to be. Why? There are some theories that people have as to why this might be. First, some people think that debates are ineffective. And to be fair, that can be true. If people are not willing to listen, or they're not open-minded, or if they're more interested in scoring points than seeking the truth, a debate won't help them. Remember what James wrote. "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." If people will do that, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, then a debate can be effective. But if not, we're just wasting our time. But also, some people think that debates are wrong. And this idea comes from a misapplication of a couple of passages. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, the King James Version says this, "For I fear lest, when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults," and he goes on and on. And then Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1 and verse 29, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers," and then on and on. In those verses, debates were clearly condemned. However, Paul was not talking about the debates that we are talking about here. He was talking about strife, which the New American Standard Version uses the word strife in place of debates in those verses. Now, we are not to be contentious or cause division, but that does not mean we avoid controversial topics and refuse to discuss or even debate them. There are times to debate, and we'll talk about more when that might be here in a few minutes. But then there are some people, the reason why we don't have debates as often is because some people are just uninterested in rethinking their views. Yet, we should always be doing this. The wise man said, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning." No one knows everything. If we're not willing to listen and reevaluate what our current thinking is, then we're never going to grow. And then there are some people who just think that no one is wrong. And if that's what they think, what's the point of debating? This has been a problem for years. Everyone has their own version of truth. Yet the Bible indicates that there is a clear difference between truth and error. We already mentioned 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6, where John talked about knowing the difference between truth and error. But if we do not believe that anyone can be wrong, then we're going to be like the Athenians, who were only interested in telling and hearing something new, not in determining the difference between what is right and what is wrong. But another theory that recently occurred to me of why debates are less common today than they used to be is because preachers or other potential debaters are just too busy. It takes a lot of time to prepare for a debate and to do it well. Several years ago, I had a preacher ask me to moderate for a debate that he was holding. So was not asking me to hold the debate, but just to moderate for him. And while I was honored to be asked to do that, at the time, it was unthinkable for me to be able to devote the time necessary to help him the way that he needed a moderator to help him with that debate. Now, today, I'm still busy, not as busy as I was 10, 11 years ago when that invitation was extended to me. But even today, it would be a daunting challenge for me to prepare for a debate, whether to be the one debating or to help moderate for that debate. We collectively have filled our time with so many things, even good things, that there's just simply not much time left for something like this. Which reminds us of another point, that we need to be careful how we manage our time. And we've talked about this before on the podcast, and I'll link to a previous episode where we talked about time management, particularly as it relates to preachers. But this idea of time management is very popular for those who talk about productivity and things like that, but it is a biblical topic. And if we think about what the Bible says about making the most of our time, this involves recognizing what's important, focusing on what's important, spending time on what is important, and then managing our energy so we can keep doing what is important. And for more on each of those points, I'll link to an article in the show notes about being a productive Christian. It goes into those points in more detail. But this is something that we all need to do in order to serve God to the best of our abilities. We need to manage our time better. Now, if we do that, does that mean we're going to have more time for debates? Maybe, but then not necessarily, at least not for all of us. Well, what does the New Testament teach? If we are going to debate or try to make time for debates, when would that be necessary? When would it be a good idea to engage in a debate? Well, the New Testament provides some guidance on that. One, it is a good idea to engage in a debate when brethren are in danger of being led astray. In Acts chapter 15, it says, "Some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, 'Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.' And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue." These Judaizing teachers were threatening to undo all of the good that Paul and Barnabas had done there in Antioch. They were trying to change God's plan of salvation by adding more requirements, namely circumcision. And this was a threat to their spiritual well-being. So Paul and Barnabas debated them over this issue. And Paul referred to this issue when he wrote to the Galatians. but it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus in order to bring us into bondage. But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. If he ignored these false teachers, brethren would have been led astray and would have abandoned the gospel. When this is happening and people are willing to listen, then debates are necessary. But the New Testament also shows us that debates can be used in order to expose people to the truth. Going back to Acts chapter 17, when Paul was in Athens, it says, "Now while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. So he was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. And also some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers were conversing with him. Some were saying, 'What would this idle babbler wish to say?' Others, 'He seemed to be a proclaimer of strange deities,' because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new teaching is which you are proclaiming?'" Now, that was not a formal debate like we're talking about here, but it does illustrate the principle. When people are curious and open-minded, they can be persuaded to accept the truth when it is presented to them in contrast with the error that they have grown up accustomed to. It may not be many. Acts 17 and verse 34 said there were a few who followed with Paul after this, but even if it's just a few, it's still important. So in summary, there is no denying the fact that religious debates are less common today than they were in the 19th and 20th centuries. However, they can still be effective if people are willing to listen and if those who engage in the debates can devote the time necessary to do it properly. So there is a place for debates even today. But whether we engage in formal public debates or not, we need to be committed to believing, teaching, and practicing the truth, and then looking to help others who are seeking to do the same. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this episode to be helpful. For links to some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/10-30-25. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos we post here from time to time. And if you're interested in seeing the script for this episode, that is available on Substack. That will be linked in the show notes. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.